2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and focus our attention for a few minutes on that 14th verse. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Natural man. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. All right. Consider that as the basis of our remarks here this evening. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. It's imperative that we understand the nature of man and the nature of God and the nature of salvation. Because if we don't understand that man after the fall differs from man before the fall, we'll have a difficult time, almost an impossibility, of understanding who God is and who Christ is and God's total and complete salvation. We've got to understand it. And to me, that is one of the missing notes in today's 20th century preaching. The total depravity of man. The natural man. That's the unregenerate man. And I would say, considering all things in general, at any given time, the world's population, the earth's population, is full of natural men and natural women and natural boys and girls. And if we be regenerate, if God in His great mercy has quickened us and given us life and give us an understanding to know somewhat about God and God's salvation and have an interest in it and desire to seek after it, then we are highly favored among men. Highly favored. Highly favored. There's about 50 of us here tonight. There should be 300 or 400 people here. If they had an interest. But they don't have an interest. Just don't have the interest there. They're spiritually darkened. They don't have any understanding. And they just go on doing the best they can, some of them. Someone said, well, I've always, all my life, had good intentions. I've had good intentions. That accounts somewhat, won't it? So, no. Salvation's not based on good intentions. But a lot of people, you'd be surprised of the masses of humankind who trust in their good intentions. Well, let's talk a little bit here about this. I'm saying that neither the Bible or the gospel or God's salvation can be understood unless we understand something about man and his nature and what happened in the garden. If a man does not know what happened in the garden, he's going to have a difficult time or an impossible time finding out what happened on the cross. If you don't know what happened in the garden, you're not going to know what happened on the cross. You've got to know something about man's nature. Well, let us begin with the first man, Adam. Since the fall of Adam, he fell out of being a pleasure to God when he fell. Fallen Adam. The fall of Adam, or since the fall of Adam, since Adam fell, several thousand years ago. And there has been billions of human beings born on this earth. And all of them are the descendants of fallen Adam. All descendants of fallen Adam. Genealogy, trace it back. And you'll find, according to the Bible, that you're a descendant of fallen Adam. Since the fall of Adam, no human being is born with the indwelling spirit of the living God. No one. Not you. Not me or anybody else, is born with the indwelling spirit of the living God. By that I mean that no one is born God conscious. Nobody is born God conscious. All men by nature are only and always born self-conscious, but never God-conscious. And that's so because of the fall of their father Adam. That's the effect of Adam's fall. Nobody's born God-conscious, but self-conscious. Concerned about self, not about God. Consequently, men and women and boys and girls have to be taught to seek God's glory rather than their own. Because of the fall. The fall left Adam without spiritual light, without spiritual power, without spiritual knowledge, without spiritual love, and without spiritual guidance. And we inherited Adam's nature after the fall. Before the fall, Adam was God conscious. He sought God before the fall. He enjoyed God before the fall. But after the fall, he was spiritually darkened, void of understanding, a rebel, and he ran from God. He welcomed the presence of God in the cool of the day before the fall. But when he fell and God came, he was nowhere to be found. He was always there to welcome God the Father in the cool of the day when God made his visit to fellowship with his creation. But there came a day when God came down to fellowship, to see his creation, to see man, to see Adam was his friend, and the apple of his eye. Adam was nowhere to be found. And he had to call out. God had to call out, "Adam, where art thou?" See, that's before the fall. After the fall, I'm sorry. That's after the fall. Before the fall, he was Johnny on the spot. After the fall, God says, "Where art thou, Adam?" Adam said, "I'm back here in the trees. I hid from you back here. What's the matter, Adam? Ate of the fruit." So, with no spiritual light, his heart and his soul is darkened. He has no spiritual light. He has no desire after God now. He's running from God. He's trying to hide from God. And the evidence of that truth, that the descendants of Adam display his fallen nature, because the majority of human beings on the earth at any given time are doing their dead level best to hide from God. They don't want you to talk about God. Go into a family circle of so-called good-hearted people and begin to talk about God. Let's change the conversation. Let's talk about God. Let's talk about God's Son who suffered on the tree. And you'll find out that a silence, a gloom and doom will hang over that audience. And they're not the least bit interested. They're embarrassed. They don't know what to talk about. And they're doing their best to hide. I heard a preacher say one time, I think he's right, he said the best place to hide from God is in the average church. And I believe he's right. Hide from God. Because in the average church you'll never hear anything about God. Because the majority of the leaders and the guides are like, they're blind spiritual leaders. And the blind lead the blind. And neither one of them gains the right object. They fall in the ditch. And so there's people that jamming the churches. Not many on a Sunday night. Most churches don't even have service on Sunday night. But a lot of them have service on Sunday morning, and sometimes I go up the avenue there in Fairmont and I see the old people. Some of them as old as I am, and most of them older, coming down the steps of that big church there, Fairmont Avenue, coming down with their canes and people helping them and all that. And I know, and I'm not exaggerating, I know they never heard anything worth retaining in that hour they were there. They talked maybe about the sweet Jesus, boy, trying to do something, but he can't do it. And their conception of God, which they've received from their spiritual leaders, make them sorry. They're sorry that people cuss and swear and commit adultery and those things. They're sorry for God that He has to put up with that. And that's about the scope of what they hear. So with no spiritual light, Adam's mind was darkened. Instead of being a friend of God, now he's an enemy. Just like that. It's amazing, isn't it? How quick this happened. I don't know now that Adam, I don't know how long Adam lived in the Garden of Paradise before the fall. Some I've heard and read say that Adam created by God, and before nightfall of the first day, Adam had fallen. I don't know whether that's true or not. Adam could live, he could have lived 100 years in fellowship with God, enjoying the comfort and the friendship of God, praising God and worshiping God. I don't know. I don't know how long it. But I know that when he rebelled against God, against God's command not to eat of that fruit, when he took that fruit in his hand from the hand of his wife Eve, he fell. And he fell immediately and lost everything. Adam's mind was darkened. He is an enemy of God. And his heart was blinded by sin and alienated from the life of God, and he became a lover of darkness rather than a lover of light. And that's the way the natural man is. That's the way you once was. That's the way I once was. I went for years and years and years being aware of a self-conscious, but not aware of a God-conscious. Just looking out for me and mine. That's all. That was my only concern. Being able to go to work and have a payday. Pay the rent. The store bill. That's all. Self-conscious. Not conscious of God or anybody else. Just conscious of myself. Adam lost that self-God consciousness. Now he's self-conscious. He has no spiritual power at all. He's void of spiritual power. The will of man, the will of Adam before the fall, came under the dominion of sin. Before the fall, there was no sin in Adam, and there was no sin in the Garden of Eden. But when he fell and gave his allegiance to the enemy of God, he became a child of the enemy of God. Ye are of your father the devil, who's a liar from the beginning, and your children, the natural man, all the result of Adam's fall. That's the effect of Adam's fall. He had no spiritual light, no spiritual power, no spiritual knowledge. He was under the dominion of sin, looking out for self only. And as a result of Adam's fall, all of his descendants, which we're part of them, no longer willed to seek God. We were not born in seeking God's will. We never sought God. We was on the run, running from God. And if God had not took the initiative and sought us and run us down and quickened us with the life of God, we'd still be on the run. Our pictures would be on the wall. Outlaw, rebel, murderer, sinner of the darkest kind, wrapped up in the arms of Satan, his father. No longer will to seek God, but to run from God. So, with no spiritual knowledge whatsoever, Adam lost the capacity to receive or to understand spiritual things. The natural man. And that calls him the natural man because he's the fallen man. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He does not receive any spiritual things from God. It's not to say that the natural man does not receive bountiful blessings of God to enjoy a safe place in this world. The sun shines upon the just as well as the unjust. They enjoy blessings of God in reference to creation and everyday things. But spiritual matters. That's what matters in the life of a person. Does he have spiritual life? If he has not been found and regenerated and brought to God in Christ, then he's far off from God. And he has no appetite for spiritual things. Why would a man automatically get up out of his bed and dress up on Sunday morning and get in his car and drive to the Katy Baptist Church to hear the gospel? Why would he do that? If he does not have some spiritual appetite, has no spiritual appetite, has no spiritual knowledge, and he's lost the capacity to receive or understand spiritual things. So, with no capacity to love spiritual things, Adam's heart was bent and set upon evil. That's what Adam was before the fall. Or after the fall, his heart was set and bent on evil. I meant to say, before the fall, Adam had a sweet disposition. He had a great love for God the Father. And he had a free will. Adam had a free will. He could choose or he could refuse to choose. He had a free will. And when Adam fell, he lost that free will. Didn't have that free will anymore. And being without spiritual knowledge, spiritual power, spiritual privileges, the consequence of it is that his children do not have that free will. You see, after the fall, Adam is altogether different than he was before the fall. Adam had a free will before the fall, but he lost his free will. And now his will is not free. His will is free to sin. And I've said before, say again, poor illustration, it's all I can think of. Man, after the fall, he's like a frog in a snake's belly. He's free to move around, but he's not free to get out. He's bound, and he can't get out of his situation. And he is so far off from God that God must come where he is and must change, give him a heart. Love, thanksgiving. Well, Mr. Adam had a fall. And Mr. Adam lost it all. And all the king's horses, and all the king's men, could not put Adam back together. Only God, who made him, can put Adam back together again. And we're so desperate in our need, desperate in our depravity, that only God can put us back together again. Salvation is all of God. It's all of him from start to finish. Man by nature has no spiritual life, no spiritual appetite. He's not God conscious, he's self conscious. And God has got to take the initiative. And he has got to do a work of grace in the individual. And the effects of it is his eyes are open to himself, how wicked he is. And his eyes are open to the love of God, that God so loved his Son, or so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might have eternal life. And God woos him back by his love. Only God can put us together. Like old Humpty Dumpty. They had a great fall. And all the king's men, the king's horses, and all that couldn't put them back together. Only God can do it. You see, there's a difference. There's a difference after the fall of Adam. We're different now. Adam was doing right. Adam had no problems until he exercised his free will. And he listened to the devil. And he took a bite of that fruit. And when he did, he broke down. And we inherited all of Adam. Of that fall, we inherit. understand things, lest we understand we're different now than what Adam was before he fell. We're depraved. Every part of our being is touched by that monster sin. Sin's in us. Sin runs rampant through us. Our biggest enemy is ourselves, our sinful selves, and the devil. And we're no match for him. If it was not for God and his providence to keep us from the hands of the devil, he'd have every one of us. Let's stand, we'll be dismissed.